Welcome to the Fire and Earth Podcast with your hosts, Jason Mefford and Kathy Groover. Fire and Earth, giving you the keys to unlock your limitless potential.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Fire and Earth Podcast. I am your co-host, Kathy Groover.
And I'm Jason Mefford. And today we're just going to kind of see where the discussion goes, because we were talking a little bit off camera. And both of us have kind of experienced some different things this last couple weeks, you know, when we're talking about, you know, kind of what we're going through and dealing with. And so we're not quite sure where this is going, but it's kind of about managing emotions and having some compassion for yourself and just kind of working through, but also how to compartmentalize in the short term, I guess, if you need to, to be able to show up and do what you have to do, but realize that you still got to deal with those emotions. And so I think, you know, Kathy, I think you kind of mentioned before, you know, because your father just passed away. And I think this is probably a good story to kind of tell people, just to set the stage on how you found out what you were doing, that kind of leads into this discussion.
Yeah. So I was asked to do a second TEDx, and it was on us versus them, which is a talk. These words had never come out of my mouth before. So typically, I mean, you know, you're a speaker as well. We have our signature stories. We have our, we know our slide deck, and we just do the thing and we make it new every time. This was a brand new talk for me. So my mind was constantly rehearsing it, making sure it was right. And I'm driving about 3 hours south from Santa Barbara to go do this talk Friday afternoon. And I'm about an hour and a half or 2 hours from stage go time, and I get a phone call that my dad died. So I am in the car driving down the freeway at 80 miles an hour, trying to get to my TED talk, and I found out my father's gone. And his girlfriend, who was there with him at the hospital when he passed, started to ask me this slew of questions. What are we doing with this? What are we doing that? And I finally stopped her and I said, look, I can't have this conversation with you. I said, I know this sounds horrible, because there was a part of me that's like, Groover, your dad just died. You have to deal with the emotion of that. And the other part of me went, excuse me, you're a performer and you're about to go do a talk. Yep. So I had to, in that moment, make that choice of, do I stop the car? Or do I turn around? Do I contact them and say, I can't go on stage? It was a TEDx. It was not some, to me, every talk's important, but that just held a different weight than, you know, some breakout at some little conference, which would have been easier to back out of. Right. Not an hour and a half before stage time. And so I spoke to her briefly. I talked to a few people I needed to tell, and then I let it go. I put it in a box and I closed the lid. And when I got to the TEDx, I found the organizer and I said, hey, I'm Kathy Groover. I'm so excited to be a part of this. I'm going to tell you something, and I don't want a reaction, and I don't want you to bring it up, and I don't want you to tell anybody. I said, I just found out my father died. Oh my, don't say anything. I'm letting you know for two reasons. One of which is I will be leaving the second I get off the stage. The second of which is if you see me in a corner rocking and sobbing, that's why. Don't tell anybody. I'm going to do my job and then I have to go. I'm an only child. It's back east. You know, I end up being the first speaker, which was perfect. I didn't tell anybody what was going on. Got on stage, kick-ass talk, whoops, claps, cheers. I said, thank you very much. Handed my mic off, got backstage and collapsed into a sobbing heap on the floor.
Yep.
There was this, just this dichotomy of thank you, and I lost it. And the other speakers are suddenly going, holy shit, like what is going on? I said, I just found out my dad died, then the car on the way down. And the one woman said, the show must go on. Yeah. And interestingly, the two men said, I couldn't have done it. There's no way I would have been able to get on stage. I would have had to cancel. So I think part of it is personality. I am very good at compartmentalizing. I am very good at, this is terrible because it's not healthy, but I'm very good at stuffing things. And either letting them out later or stuffing them, and then they come out some other way, as we'll talk about in a second with the cat. It comes out eventually.
And I was gonna say, because I think that story, because I think there's a couple of points that we want to make today, and this is one of them. Exactly what you said is, as a professional, you know, depending on what you're doing, sometimes the show must go on, and you know what. You know, something terrible just happened, the show still must go on. And so for a short time, you might have to compartmentalize that, just like you did with your dad, right? You said, okay, I have to deal with this, but really the reality is if I deal with it 3 or 4 hours from now instead of right now, it doesn't really matter. You know, it would have been different if it's like, you know, your father's dying. This is your last opportunity to talk to him.
Right. Yeah.
That would have been something different, right? But he'd already passed. There wasn't really anything you could do. And you had this obligation and needed to show up as a professional. And so again, you know, the actor speaker, it's, hey, when curtain goes up, you bring it. Mm-hmm. And when the curtain goes down, then you can deal with it. So sometimes we do have to kind of short-term compartmentalize it. Mm-hmm. But the problem is we have to go back to it eventually, right? Yeah. And so my little story along with this is there were some personal issues that have surfaced back up again with my previous marriage. And some stuff that I'd been stuffing down for 7 years, 8 years,
yeah.
You know, and certain things again, that especially like the last year that I just haven't wanted to deal with, that it was like, you know, that's too long to have that stuff compartmentalized. I had to deal with my shit.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, you know, sometimes, you know, again, we have to open the box. Now, as I was dealing with this for the last week or two, I still had to show up, right? And so again, in the short term, I'm still kind of compartmentalizing this process that I'm going through, just like you did with your dad.
Yeah.
But when I'm not on stage, when I'm off, when I'm back, I'm trying to deal with it, right? So that I can move forward and move on, because eventually we have to deal with the stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I know we've talked before about, you know, clients that you have that come in, you know, and talking about stress and stuffing and how all these different things lead to certain things like lower back pain and some of these other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because we try to stuff that stuff down.
Yeah.
So show up when you need to, but then deal with it and set aside time because you have to deal with it. I mean, after you finish the talk, you had to fly back east. There yep. was some stuff you had to do. You had to take some time to try to unpack it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, because and it's interesting because the week that I was back in Pittsburgh, now it all unfolded. I also know from a universal perspective, it all unfolded exactly the way it was supposed to. I had just seen my dad, so that made it a lot easier. And I knew he was going to go soon. So it wasn't a total surprise. I was surprised that it happened in the car on my way to my talk. I mean, literally my reaction was kind of like, is it really now? Seriously? Like, you couldn't have waited until tomorrow morning or, you know, we're done it this morning so that I had time to process, but everything unfolded the way it should have. And I went back, I was scheduled to go back east anyway the following week. He timed it very well. And so I spent that week going through my dad's house. And in about 3 days, literally, the junk was thrown away. Everything was organized. I'm pretty much ready to put my stuff in storage and the rest of the stuff for a house sale. And it was just taken care of. And I had so many people go, oh my God, it's been 5 years and I still can't open a drawer. You know, they just can't handle that yet. And they push it off because those feelings are ugly. They don't want to experience that, which I totally get. This has been a very ugly emotional week for me. But at some point, you're right, we do have to deal with that. We have to manage those things. And if not now, then later. You know, pay now, pay later. Those are the two choices. And things don't often get easier. You know, sometimes they get harder the longer you wait. So, you know, you have to find that balance and what that personality is that works for you.
Well, and that's one of the things in my experience that I saw, because like I said, some of this stuff I've been stuffing down for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to realize, or it became clear to me, that I had to work through certain things.
Yeah.
Because it was holding me back. And the reason for that, and this is where kind of the emotion and trying to balance some of the stuff, because we have a personal life, we have a business life, we have all this stuff that we have to try to balance. And the reality is we're emotional beings.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's silly to think that our emotions are not going to affect us. You know, but in the short term, like you said, if you've got a speech, if you've got a important meeting, something like that, you can usually hold it together.
Mm-hmm.
Get through it, but you still have to deal with it. And the issue, like I said, that I was seeing is I was showing up in that part of my personal life differently than I needed to be showing up in my business. And so when I was trying to show up in my business as who I should be, because I wasn't mm-hmm. being that same person in my personal life, it was negatively affecting me in my business.
Yeah.
And so again, sometimes, you know, like I said, short-term stuffing, okay, but you still got to work through it because it's going to show up somewhere. It's going to show up in issues with your work or your business. It's going to show up in issues with your body. I mean, this is what you talk about, Kathy.
Right? I know. Yeah.
Is the stress and everything else and how it affects your body and all this kind of stuff. And that's one of the reasons why you do the work that you do.
Right.
Is to help people get through that.
And it's interesting because I think we don't often think about how it's going to affect us down the road. We don't think about the stress and what that's going to do to our bodies. And is that depleting our immune system? Is that allowing cancer to take hold? What is that doing to our heart? That fight or flight response is made to be this short-lived thing. It's not meant to be we shouldn't be in the stress response all the time. Now, that happens sometimes when you're dealing with, you know, I remember getting audited by the IRS, and for 6 months, like every night I was being jarred out of a dead sleep because my brain wouldn't stop. And it was just, there was this stress. And then of course, as soon as the audit was over, what happened? I got so sick because my body went, okay, we can't handle this anymore. But we have to find those ways of managing those things and dealing with those things. And I don't think people think also about playing those dual roles of how you handle stuff in your business life and how you handle stuff in your professional life. And I had posted something on Facebook last night about that I was just riding this wave of emotion and that I don't often feel vulnerable and delicate. And I'm Wonder Woman, I'm a powerhouse, I do trapeze. And everybody thinks I'm this like goddess incarnate, which on one hand is like, well, that's kind of nice. But on the other hand, that's completely unrealistic because I have my down moments too. And no one sees those. No one sees me do that. You've gotten to see it a couple of times. My therapist messaged me and said, what do you need to do to soothe yourself, to comfort yourself during this time? And I actually really thought about that. I never thought, what do I need to comfort that? I went to dance class last night. Mm-hmm. And I danced for an hour and a half and I sweated my ass off. And if the music was more angry, I let my anger out. And if the music was more flowy, I let that flow happen. What do you have to do to self-soothe? What do you do to get that comfort when you need it?
Well, and I think, and this is where, you know, we'll talk more later about the concept of like self-compassion. But in general, you know, I've heard some people refer to it as having grace for yourself, which I think is a great way to think about it. And another point to bring up here is we are emotional beings. It's okay to feel emotion. Mm-hmm. It is okay to feel emotion. It's okay to work through it. It's okay to realize that, you know, everything isn't perfect all the time. You are Wonder Woman most of the time, Kathy, but yes, you know, sometimes you have your moments. Yeah. I do too, right? I mean, sure. Again, it's like if people that know me know I cry. I have these other things that go on in my life. I'm still an emotional person as well.
Right.
And it's okay, and have grace for yourself and compassion for yourself when you feel that. Sometimes, right. Again, we need to just take that step back. If you're not on stage, if you don't have to be performing right now, sit with the emotion.
Yeah.
And one of my friends says, he uses the term push through the pain.
Yeah.
Which I love. I love that term because so much of the time we don't want to feel the emotion or it makes us feel uncomfortable.
It's terrible. Yeah.
Yeah. But what I've found is, you know, the times when I say, I don't want to feel that emotion, I'm just going to stuff it down. Mm-hmm. It gets worse later on and it shows up other places. If instead we take that emotion and say, I'm going to push through this emotion, mm-hmm. I'm going to feel it. I'm going to feel it deeply. And then it's gone.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing that if you'll actually kind of take that time, take the focus, have the courage, right? And this is what's funny because vulnerability now is becoming a big topic.
Yes.
That a lot of people are talking about. And here's the reality, folks, especially if you listen to like Brene Brown stuff. Everybody who has courage is vulnerable.
Yeah.
Because you have to be vulnerable to be courageous.
Absolutely.
And so feeling those emotions, being vulnerable, going through, I mean, you falling in a heap backstage was vulnerable.
Yeah. Especially in front of people I didn't know who were fellow professionals who I didn't go to my car and sit there by myself and cry, you know, and same, and that's, again, that's why I put that on Facebook. It drives me crazy when people dump their emotions all over Facebook constantly, because at that point it's like, why are you keep going there? I don't
oversharing, and that's not vulnerability. That's not vulnerability.
Right. Yeah, that's attention. It's secondary gain. That's all that stuff. That's not why I did it. But so many people commented and said, you know, through showing your vulnerability, you're still teaching, you're still inspiring us, and you're still showing strength, and you're still doing those things. And I think one of the issues, especially with grief in our society, is we are not taught how to grieve. We tend to stuff our grief, or we have these reactions that aren't healthy for us. And so, and I told someone this the other day, I said, you know, I ended up having to comfort other clients when I told them about my dad, because it reminded them of their dad. You know, this is why when you say, I have to put my cat to sleep, other people burst into tears. They're not upset about your cat. They're thinking about every cat they've ever lost. So they personalize that grief. And I think every once in a while, we have these sort of societal cleansings. I know when Princess Diana died, the world mourned.
Yeah,
I didn't know her. You didn't know her. Everybody that I saw who was upset and crying about this didn't know her. Same thing when JFK was shot. The world, at least this country at that point, mourned that loss. And I think that is this sort of cleansing where it gives us this opportunity to grieve for all of those things that we have lost, you know, good, bad, and indifferent. So I think if we learn to manage our emotions better, and my friends who know me, and we always talk about, you know, I don't understand emotions. They're probably laughing because I'm talking about managing emotions. They're like, Kathy doesn't do that. Well, I'm working on it. I'm a work in progress. Like you said, it's going to come out one way or the other. And sometimes it surprises you.
Well, and I think it's funny because, like you said, you know, the you know, Princess Di dying or JFK, it, you know, or even like you said with your clients, you know, when you told them about your father passing away, that brought up something that they had stuffed down. Mm-hmm. It was something that they haven't dealt with yet. And so being put in that situation brings those emotions back up. And so I guess, you know, maybe here's kind of a tip, you know, is when that happens, feel those emotions and work through it. There's something that triggers it.
Yeah.
There's a reason why it's come up. Deal with it now so you don't have to deal with it later.
Right. And I'm not saying that they're stuffing it on purpose.
No. I
mean,
we don't.
I mean, sometimes we do. We're like, oh, it's ugly. I don't want to deal with that. Sometimes we don't even know. I mean, I feel like I've been managing my grief incredibly well since losing my dad. I thought I was going to have to go away and sit in a room for 2 weeks and just cry and scream and occasionally check in and let people know I was still alive. But he was my best friend. I seriously didn't think I'd be handling it this well. And I was talking to a client joking about his ashes, and I wasn't sure what to do with his ashes. And he said, why don't you go to Heinz Field and sneak some into the stadium and sprinkle them there? And I burst into tears. Totally lost my shit. And why would that trigger me? Like, of all the things I had been talking about, but him saying that hit something, I'm crying now, that triggered that emotion in me. Totally caught me off guard. In the middle of a massage, I'm kind of going, and crying, trying not to dribble on my client because that's inappropriate. but it was like, sometimes it's, or you know, you see a commercial, or you see a TV show, or you see, you know, you don't often know what's going to trigger that, but you just have to go with it and process it out and know that it's going to take time. And, you know, you can try to speed along as much as you want, but occasionally it's going to hit you with something.
Well, especially some of the bigger things in life, they take time.
Yeah.
You know, so that's another place to kind of have compassion or grace for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a major thing, don't think you're going to get through it in a half an hour.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to go meditate for an hour and, you know, everything is just released necessarily.
Yeah.
You know, there can be trigger points and stuff that comes up.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? Here's a good thing. When you feel those emotions, we should be grateful.
Yeah.
Instead of feeling embarrassed, because you know what that means? You're a human. Isn't that nice?
It's great. Yeah.
No,
great.
It's good to be a human though, right? Because if we didn't feel emotion, we wouldn't actually be a human.
Right. Well, I just was with Eckhart Tolle for 4 days, and he was talking about that human. Are you seeing another human? Are you seeing the human being beneath that? What are you? Are you just seeing this physical form, or are you actually seeing the essence of that person and getting into that essence and not identifying so strongly with these thought forms? And you know, we talked about that before we got on the air. I was starting to get so attached to this cat that I thought was killed 2 nights ago, that I've done nothing but cry for 2 days thinking I lost this cat. Okay, first of all, was it my cat? Second of all, even if it was my cat, it's not my cat. All of these physical things are going to go away. Yeah. So to the extent that we can detach from these identities, that we can detach from these needs, these obsessions with things, with thought forms, with labels, you know, and this is why we are in politics right now. We're all screaming at each other and calling each other names because we're so identified with, I'm a Republican, I'm a Democrat, that someone questions that and you are so hurt and beaten up by that, that you have to fight back. It's an identity. It's not who we are underneath all that. We are human beings having this experience on this planet right now for who knows what reason. And when we can detach from that a little bit, I know you're doing some work with mindfulness and that detachment and that staying present, which is what Eckhart Tolle talks about. Yep. That's one of the keys. And it's a challenge. It's simple. It's just not easy, but we can work on it. We can be better.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, it's, like I said, it kind of know quite where this is going to go, but know that it's, you know, something that both of us have actually been dealing with. And I'm sure other people out there are too, right? I mean, every human being feels emotions, you know, has hurt, has joy, has happiness. I mean, you go through all the different emotions and it's all right. It's part of the experience.
Yeah.
Right. And it's okay to share appropriately within boundaries, right? Of when things happen, not, you know, sometimes people think being authentic is just telling everybody everything that's inside. And that isn't what it is. That is not what's right. But, you know, when it's appropriate, you know, then you do, if it actually makes sense. And the other thing that it does for us is the more that we are able to do this and actually be there for other people, it strengthens our relationships with them too.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's so often why we go through this stuff. I mean, there's been so many times where I've had injuries or I've hurt something on my body or I've had a specific surgery where inevitably clients start to show up and say, oh, you know, I'm about to have this hysterectomy and I'm really scared. And I can share my experience with that. I can share how I got through that, how I navigated that. And that's why we do this podcast.
Yep.
And this was sort of a personal sharing one for us. But these experiences that you and I have get propagated out and can help other people navigate their experiences. This is why we want to do this. It's about unlocking your potential. It's also being a healthy, whole, balanced person. And I love when we throw in these kind of shows because I think it's incredibly valuable to have these conversations.
Yeah. And realize, hey, we're not perfect either. We're all human beings having this experience, trying to help each other, and support each other and be there for each other and have the connections. And like you said, I love that, seeing the essence of the human being, right? Not seeing the physical outside, but actually feeling and having those emotions and relationships with other people.
Yeah.
That's what makes life special.
What was the movie with Jack Black and Gwyneth Paltrow where he saw the beauty in everybody? And though she was really, really fat in, quote, real life, he could just see the true essence of everyone.
I can't remember the name of it. Yeah.
But I love that movie. Jason Alexander was in it. I'm totally blanking on what it was. But it's true. It's like he could see this beauty in everybody. And then there was a couple people where he saw them as these ugly people, even though physically they were gorgeous. I mean, that was made to be the sort of like almost goofball comedy, but I love the underlying message of that, of seeing their people's true essence, seeing who they really are. And I find that when I have them on the table, I view my client as this beautiful being laying there that I get to help assist with their healing. And sometimes they get up from the table and I think, oh my God, I forgot what they even look like, you know, because I'm seeing a different aspect of them. It's actually pretty cool. So if we can see that beauty in everybody and see that beauty in ourselves and that positivity and those little sparks, that's what the yin and yang is. It's seeing those little pieces of us in other and other in us. We all have the same needs. We all have the same goals. Love yourself. Love everybody else. You know, it's the basis of every religion. It's basically don't be an asshole. So, you know, it's like one commandment. It's really simple. Just don't be an asshole. Love everybody.
Exactly. Well, and again, have compassion for yourself, because I think what's ironic too, you know, is like you said about that movie and seeing the essence of people. I think sometimes we're hard on ourselves because we see the flaws in ourselves. We see the emotions that we don't want to have let out or let other people see. And the irony is, a lot of those things that we might feel are flaws or that we're embarrassed about are exactly the things that make people love us so much. And so don't be afraid to show that. Let your weirdness out, you know, whatever you want to call it, and just be the authentic you. It's okay to be vulnerable, that people will see you and love you for that essence of who you really are.
Yep.
And the more you are that person and the more you're willing to let other people see that person, the stress, the everything else starts to go away. And we feel much more at peace.
Yeah. Yay. Well, what a beautiful place to end. All right. Yeah. Let's call it a wrap. That was fabulous. Everybody tap into that emotion, feel it, find a place of balance, be gentle with yourself. I'm very hard on myself. I push myself to the limits and I've realized it's about being gentle with yourself and taking what you need, asking for what you need, knowing what you need, and figuring that out. So lots of homework for everybody.
Lots of homework.
This has been the Fire and Earth Podcast. I'm Kathy Groover, and I can be reached at kathygroover.com.
And I'm Jason Mefford. I can be reached at jasonmefford.com. And we'll see you on a future episode of the Fire and Earth Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you later.
See you.